Good morning. Thanks for tuning in to the Beth Wee Radio Hour, an hour dedicated to helping you find connection so you can live your best life. That means it's 5-on-5 time. Boy, you'd never think we could fit that large a crowd in this little studio. Anyway, as always, the 5-on-5 is sponsored by a wonderful Vero Beach salon called Kaleidoscope Hair. Over there, you will find formerly with the color experience, Sandra Reynoso and Callie Ruiz, and they are dedicated to giving patrons the best cuts, the most natural color, and mine and everyone's favorite extraordinary shampoos. Located in the Kmart Plaza at 1545 U.S. Highway 1, right here in lovely Vero Beach, Florida. Or you can give them a call at 772-569-3645. Kaleidoscope Hair, get a new twist on your look today. They will truly give you something to be grateful for.
In today's 5-on-5, we're going to be talking about modern conveniences that make life better. Do we ever think to be grateful for them? We don't always.
I did when my hot air popcorn popper broke the other night.
There you are, see? So number 5 is a mixer for baking. Close, huh? Mixer for baking.
Beth bakes and makes these amazing, sweet, delicious things and doesn't eat them. I just don't get it.
I don't eat them anymore, but I like to make them still. And especially at this time of year, I like to bake. So hand mixing is okay, but the electric mixer creates a better product and it gets it done a little bit more quickly.
There you go.
Number 4, a light on a portable phone. It's like having a flashlight with you at all times. Isn't that a good one?
I use it all the time.
Yeah. Number 3, a handheld hairdryer. You know, it's strong enough to get me from the shower to ready to go in minutes. Just a handheld hairdryer. Just, you know, quick.
It burns my head.
Yeah. I'm sorry. Number 2, Netflix and the like. Watch what you want, when you want, and without commercial interruptions.
Try telling that to somebody 30 years ago.
I know. It gets hard to believe.
I know.
And the number 1, the clicker to open your car. Just like when it's raining, you don't have to fumble with your keys. You just click and your car door is open and you jump right in.
Go step even further. My car,
I don't even have to click.
When I touch the handle, it unlocks.
As long as you have that thing in your pocket.
As long as it's in my pocket.
You got it. Those are our 5-on-5 for today. And every day, find 5 things to be grateful for. It'll change the way you live. We swear by it.
And get creative.
That's right. We're talking today about, you know, living with addicts, living with addiction, living with people we love who have problems that are greater than ours. We have Ashley in the studio, and Ashley is raising actually 2 children right now. Tell us a little bit about that. How did you come up with a second child?
Well, about 2 years after Milo was born, Kelsey became pregnant again, and this one was a little boy. She was still in the recovery process at this time, so I was still just a foster parent. I was not a mom at the time. And we tried to actually have her come live with us, and it lasted 12 hours before we found she had snuck somebody into our house. She had drugs and paraphernalia tucked into my mattress. She had actually cut into my box springs. Mm. And needless to say, she left because the cops were called, because I couldn't have that.
Right.
And this was within 12 hours.
I think this is important for you to hear. You know, you think you're helping your family member when you don't call the police.
Right.
Maybe if you're not sure that it's an addiction, maybe if it's a first-time offense or something like that. But if there's repeated violations of your space, of your mind, of your heart, of your time, of your things, it's an addiction, folks. Wake up to it. It's not just they're having another bad day. It's a problem.
Stop protecting them from consequences of their actions.
You can't do it. You can't shield the addict from the consequences. And they're only likely to live and get better if they have enough consequences. Those consequences are the very things that help them hit their bottom. When I talk about hitting a bottom, you know, people are falling from this addiction and you throw a mattress under them. They're going to fall 1,000 times. You know, they don't mind. It's just going to keep falling. If they hit the ground once, it wakes them up a little bit. If they hit the ground over and over, it might actually make them crawl to help. And you can get back in touch with them after that. Usually, the people closest to you are not the ones that help you get well if you're suffering from addiction. I'm really sorry. Usually, the family members and the loved ones are the ones they come back to, but they're not necessarily the ones that can help them find their way.
And my experience has been that you are going to be the mark, because more often than not, if they're going to steal, they're going to steal from you first, because they're going to count on that you're not going to turn them in.
Convict them, right. Okay, so you called the police.
Reason actually for calling the police, not to get her in trouble with drugs or to get her in jail, was to get her help, to get her, they do a Baker Act program where they send them for 3 days to be monitored for emotional and psychiatric behavior. And I just needed...
And do they detox?
They do detox there. And yeah. I tried everything. And finally, about she left that day. The cops came. She got out of my hold, which mm-hmm. is sad to say that I had to, like, wrestle my knees, but at 6 months pregnant. And she got away, didn't get Baker Acted. About 2 weeks later, they also have something called a Marchman Act, where my dad went, and he filed it with the judge. And he and my mom, actually, and it was decided that she needed to be monitored, detoxed, helped, put into rehab. Then she went to jail, and after that, even. And Caleb was born 3 months later.
Okay. And where does Caleb live today?
Here, with me.
Here with you, so you have two children.
Yes, and just recently, we found out that she's pregnant again. And DCF has already been contacted, not through us. She went to the hospital and tested positive. And I think at this point...
You mean positive for drug use?
Positive for drug use, yes. I'm sorry.
She tested positive for drug use. Okay, so she's still using and she's pregnant with her third child.
Right. And so I think at this point, you know, they're asking me, my parents are asking me, do I want to adopt again? And I have a crazy life. I work two jobs. I have too many animals. I have a full house. And it's just, I think maybe this will be her bottom. Mm-hmm. If this child has to go to foster care. And foster care is not all bad. If they might find a great home that wants to adopt, and that'd be awesome for the child.
Right.
But I don't think for me, I'm at the right place where I can say yes. And it may be her bottom. And this time it might help her say, you know, if this is really going to happen and it's not going to be in the family, then I may want to straighten up. I might want to change.
We speak of frequently, Ashley, that if it's just like on the airplane, they tell you put your oxygen mask on first
right.
before you help somebody else. So if you're going to be of greatest value to these two children you have, you have to be at your best.
Right.
Right. Absolutely.
And it hurts. You know, I don't want to deny a child. I mean, it's family. I'm sure I would love it, just like I love the two that I have. But it's too much for me.
Right. It's more than you can manage.
Yes.
And that's important that you're able to say that. And it's important that people listening to you right now, their hearts are breaking for you, because they can hear it in your voice that it's hard. And that's that is the reality of addiction. So she's pregnant for a third time, almost as if, somebody will handle it for me.
Right.
And don't worry about it.
Her and her current boyfriend, we never know who or what they, you know.
Who it is.
Who it is. But, they're living from couch to couch, wherever they can find a place for the night.
Right.
And I'm not in a position where I can say, I want to help you. Because at this point, she's done so much to the family that I don't want to help. I kind of just want to step back for a minute.
Well, it's not actually safe to have her near your kids.
No, not at all.
I'm so sorry. You know, that's the tough part is, like I mentioned my friend Kathy, that day when I was trying to help her and she was using drugs and I had my child there, I was like, you know what, this isn't safe anymore. And when she was in the hospital, she was put in the hospital after it, that's when I went and I said, don't call me again unless you need help. Mm-hmm. If you want help, call me first. I'll get help for you. I know I can't help you, but I'll find people that can. Call me immediately. I'll be there in a second. Mm-hmm. But don't call me for anything else. And it was a really hard thing for me because she took it to heart and she didn't call me. She did go to prison, and she had to go to a a big prison, a women's prison in South Florida, because she needed dialysis because she her drug addiction had taken her kidneys. It was 5 years later she called me one morning, and she said, "I'm calling." And I said, "Hey, how are you?" And I had seen her. She had been out of prison, and I had run into her at the, of all places, the soccer field, you know, where I was watching my kids and her kids were playing. Her children were raised by her mother. Mm-hmm. And one of them is my goddaughter, you know, and the other one is just as beloved as her sister and my goddaughter. And it was funny because I said, yeah, I know you're calling. What's up? And she said, no, I'm calling. And I said, but you're clean. And she said, but they're putting me on the list for a kidney transplant. And if I get a kidney, I know I'll use. I was just shocked. My heart broke, and I didn't understand it because I'm not a crack cocaine addict. And
but
I didn't understand.
That with other people.
But I have seen it. And I said, I'll come and get you, and I'll take you to a meeting or something. I'll do whatever I can. Mm-hmm. And I did. And she died before she got any help. I mean, she was on that list, but it's a long list. Mm-hmm. And she didn't get what she needed. She died before that happened. But it's still, that's addiction. It's a hard thing. And it's hard for everybody listening because they're thinking, what about this? Where's the positive part? You know, when I listen to your radio show, Beth, I feel better. And what I want you to know is the positive part is what we're telling you, that these two children are being raised by their mom, who was a great aunt, you know, a young woman, still young, and you're creating a home for them. You're having consistent things with them. You're not using drugs in your home. They're not growing up from couch to couch. They're not in foster care.
They are being affected, but they will not be a casualty.
Right. They are still growing up knowing love, mm-hmm. knowing consistency, and knowing that there's an addiction problem in your family, because they might have to fight that themselves.
Oh, yeah.
And they will know that there's help out there. There are people that will love you and help you. But you got to turn yourself in. You got to kind of give up, unlike their mom.
Or the saying goes, their birth mom. Win.
That's right. It's really heavy stuff, and we know it is. It's heavy stuff. But there's good things, and it's important for those of you listening that you know that we're here to talk to you about what you can do to take care of yourself. We're going to take a real quick little break, and when we come back, we're going to talk about things you can do for yourself to make it better if this is your story. Stay tuned. Thanks, everybody, for listening. We're talking today about living and loving people that are addicted to alcohol, drugs, gambling, other things. We're talking to a family member, somebody who had to take in some children and raise somebody else's children and happily raising them as her own,
yeah.
And creating a family because of this. It's a tough thing. And I think one of the things I want to mention to you is that when you're dealing with somebody with addiction, and Ashley, I'd love you to kick in on this if you have it, I think it's important to remember not to argue or discuss things with the addict when they're active. And what I mean by when I say when they're active, it means when they're using. And I don't mean just that they're wasted and high. I mean they might be between runs, mm-hmm. but they're still planning their next run. That's
still
active.
Talking to the drug or the bottle or whatever the problem is.
Have you had any experience with that?
It's just a volatile situation when you're dealing at that time with the person, because at one minute they're crying and they love you and their family and why can't you help them? And then the next minute I'm the worst person in the world. I've taken her children. I've ruined her life. And it's the highs and lows are just so dramatic that you kind of just have to hang up the phone or step away. Or if you fall into it, you become a less person. I know I do. Because mm-hmm. then I get irrational, which is not pretty.
So one of the things that you can do for yourself is don't argue or get into conversations with them when they're active. And that's hard. That means kind of setting yourself up to be apart from them. But that's what you need to do, because they can't hear you anyway. You know, it's not your fault. You can't control what they decide to do, and you can't force them to change. They have to want to change. That's one of the few things, you know. It's like a friend of mine. I had another friend who was just fighting cancer. And, you know, if you want to do chemotherapy or you don't want to do chemotherapy, that makes a difference. Mm-hmm. You know, if you want to be treated or you don't want to be treated, that makes a difference of how the disease is going to affect you moving out and how your mindset is going to be too. If you're fighting for life, it's a different frame of mind than if you're settling and being ready to say your goodbyes. And it's the same thing with this addiction. If you're not fighting for your life, you're getting ready to say your goodbyes whether you know it or not.
While you're fighting for your right to use.
Yeah, and you're still trying to get, you're going to be manipulating and doing the things that addicts do to get their next high. And unfortunately, it's a tough place. You know, addicts don't really have caretakers. I mean, if you think you're their caretaker, they've got you bamboozled. If you think you're making their life better or that you're helping them get along or you're keeping them alive, but your child or your mother or your friend or your spouse is still using with regularity, they've got you bamboozled if you think you've affected. Do you agree with that, or is that too?
Oh no, what we're talking about is master manipulators. And I want to reiterate something you said at the top of the show, Beth. We're talking about sickness, and I think that Ashley, you know, I don't want to assume, so I'll ask. But Felicity, it is right, or
Myla?
Not Myla. What's the mom's?
Kelsey.
Kelsey, was she always like this? You know, was there a time before she started using, was she like this?
As a child, even, she was very manipulative. But she started using very young, around 12, 13. And it started out with, you know, weed, and it progressed rather quickly.
Weed, you mean marijuana?
Yes, I'm sorry.
Okay, no, I just, you know, not everybody knows.
We're old.
Okay. But it progressed quickly. She moved out, quit school. She did finally get her GED while one of her stints in jail, but she always, I mean, even this recently, she called my dad begging for, you know, I think it was $15 or $20 for her prescription medication because she is diagnosed bipolar. That is, you know, that's her life. But, and she used it to go buy alcohol.
But see, that's another important aspect, Ashley, because this disease is progressive.
Right.
You know, it never gets better. It only gets worse.
Right. Well, you know, it's don't work harder than the person you're trying to help. That's the most important thing. With my friend Kathy, I remember a few years in a row, I would go buy Christmas presents for the kids because I wanted her kids to have presents from her, even though they were living with their grandmother. I wanted her to be able to give them presents. And the last year that I did it, we went to Walmart. And we did layaway. We did early. And the thing about layaway is you have to get it out of layaway. Like, it's like 10 days before Christmas or something. It's early.
The 14th.
Is it the 14th? You know what it is. Yeah, I knew it was like 10 days before Christmas or something. Yeah. So I went and paid off this thing, and we got all the presents, and I took her back to where she lived. And, you know, she returned every one of them and used the money for drugs. And I never thought of that because I wasn't thinking like that. Mm-hmm. I don't think like she thinks. My body wasn't saying, you need more, you need more, you need more, you need more. But her body was saying that. And so on Christmas, after Christmas, when I saw my little nieces, I said, how was Christmas? What was your presents great or whatever? And they were like, Mommy wasn't able to get us anything this year. And I was just like, oh my gosh. That's how I found out. I was like, oh my gosh.
And were you, I'm sure you were upset. Were you angry?
I was angry for the littlest bit of a minute because I felt used. But you know what?
You get it.
I was used.
Yeah.
Addicts that are active are going to use you.
And they will use you up.
Yeah, they will use you up. So it's important. If the person you're trying to help isn't working, don't work for them. They've got to do their own work. And you can't, if you're working harder than they are, then it isn't working. You know, if you're working harder to get them well, it's not a good deal. So pay attention to that, because I think that's important. You know, I think best thing you can do is just be a good example and do the best you can for the people you love. And for somebody who's suffering like that, the best you can do for them is to not make it easy for them to keep using. Don't give them money. Don't get them out of trouble if they're trouble. I remember once I had a man that called me through Beth Wee, and he was talking to me. His child had been arrested, and he said, "So I'm going to go bail him out." And I said, "Is that the best choice?" And he goes, "What do you mean? He's in jail. I got to go bail him out." And I said, "No, you don't have to go bail him out. Make sure that's the best choice. If you bail him out, will he use again? If you don't bail him out, will he use again? Where is he going to be where is he going to be the safest?" And the man was like, "I never thought of it like that." And that's the hard part. Where is the addict going to be the safest? If they're using in a detox or in a program or in something, that's going to be the best place, but that's not always what's going to happen.
Beth, I do just want to shed one bright light in this in this dark situation, is that you and I in our work run across many people. Now, the disease wins more often than not, but there are many people that have overcome this and are thriving. There are many parents that have worked hard to get their children back and have built successful, happy families and lives. This does not have to be a death sentence, you know, but you can't do it alone. You have to reach out for help. And there are wonderful groups. We speak about Alcoholics Anonymous, Narcotics Anonymous, you know, or whether it's through your church, whatever. You can't do this alone. Reach out for somebody else that's found a common solution to the common problem.
I want to mention those again. I want to, you know, say, if at all possible, try not to be negative when you're dealing with your addict or your alcoholic. That may only increase their feelings of guilt and push them further in. But reach out to other people who know, because you can't stop using or drinking. You can't do it for them. They have to do it themselves. But there are other people that have people they love that are going through the same things. Again, Al-Anon, al-anon.org. Go online and check it out. Those are for family members of alcoholics. Nar-Anon, nar-anon.org. Those are for family members of addicts. Gam-Anon, gam-anon. Those are for family members of gamblers. And adultchildren.org. Those are for the adult children of alcoholics and addicts. You're an adult, but you're the child. Your parent is there. There are people that know what it's like. You're not alone. That's the most important thing. Ashley, have you had support through this?
Oh yeah, I've had tons of support. Be it the rest of my family, coworkers, pretty much everybody, and it's helped so much.
Yeah. Support really changes things, and it changes your attitude and outlook, and it makes you able to say no to something you've always said yes to before. That man didn't bail his son out that day, and the son is now in a treatment center because staying in jail made him wake up to the, oh my gosh, this is what my life's going to be like forever. Doesn't always happen, but sometimes it does. We thank you for listening today. Ashley, we thank you for being here with us today.
Thank you for having
you've
me.
You've probably helped a lot of people because they heard the truth. It's a painful truth, but it's a truth. Addiction is killing people and robbing us of the people we love. Don't battle it alone. Get some help. Look for help. We love you. We're always pulling for you. Check us out at bethwe.com. And if we can help you, we will. Thanks so much. We'll see you next week.